to Shattering Myths. This is the portion of the show where, rather than exposing the news and explaining why religion and politics and military schemes, as well as economic schemes, do not provide the kind of trustworthiness that we ought to be reliant on and are instead the source of really human calamity rather than of human good. We now transition into Yahweh's testimony. We are still in the portion of this review where we're laying a foundation. Context is just so important. A proper perspective and foundation is so important that rather than just jumping into this and saying, all right, we're going to begin at the beginning and we're going to consider the creation account cold turkey, just jump right on in and follow with me. If you don't understand the uniqueness of Hebrew grammar, if you don't understand the condition of the manuscripts that we're going to be considering, if you don't understand the process of translation, if you don't understand how names are supposed to be transliterated and how religion has corrupted the what we now call the Old Testament, bogus term, of the Bible, another pagan term. You need to have the proper foundation. You need to have the proper perspective if you're going to effectively embark on a voyage of discovery. And you also have to have an open mind. And so one of the reasons that we spent time yesterday exposing the fact that God hates being called Lord, hates it with a passion, because Lord describes Satan's ambition. That's why Lord is used throughout the Torah, prophets, and Psalms to describe HaSatan, the adversary, is that once you know that you have been beguiled by politicians and clerics, then you're willing to question them. Your mind opens up and it becomes receptive to the truth. All of these things are foundational to effective learning. We have much to unlearn before we can begin to learn. And that is the reason why we're still engaged in establishing this foundation. Well, yesterday we affirmed that God does not like being referred to as the Lord. He hates it. And now that you understand why, let's consider his name and whether we can and should pronounce it. The most telling passage in this regard is found in the book Yahweh, actually entitled Shemot. Now, what do you think Shemot means? Now, it's been corrupted to Exodus because this Hebrew revelation we have ascribed Greek names to. But the actual name of the book is not Exodus. It is Shemot. Guess what Shemot means, folks? Names. So in the book called Names, Shemot, known to you perhaps by the corrupted title Exodus, Yahweh introduces his name. And Moshe is a name that is based upon Masah, which means to draw out to. It's the inference here is that the role Moshe played in his inscribing Yah's Torah helps draw us away from human oppression and from divine judgment. And Moshe said to God, the Almighty, now look, Hena, if I go to the children of Yisrael, and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me out to you, and they ask me, what is his personal and proper name? What shall I say to them? Now, remember, Moshe was the reluctant troubadour. He said, you know, when God first appeared to him as light, fire, light, it wasn't in a bush, it was the burning top of a mountain. And as God appeared to him as this brilliant light at the top of the mountain, and he said, you know, I want you to go with me to liberate my children, because I've made a promise to their fathers to do this for them. And Moshe was the reluctant one. He says, not me, man. I stammer. I'm a stutterer. You know, it's like when God asked me to expose and condemn Islam, he wanted people to be left without an excuse. He said, I have a mission. I want you to go with me. And I want us to expose and condemn Islam so that the world is left without an excuse. And I said, hey, man, I'm not qualified. Find someone who is qualified. And he says, you are qualified because you know you're not qualified. That means you're going to be reliant. That's what I want. And we had a little negotiation, and I said, all right, I get your point. You are God, after all. And so I'll do this, but here are my terms and conditions. This is what I want if we're going to do this. He said, okay, yeah, I'll do that for you. And they happened to be, in my case, it was two things that I wanted. I wanted my home and family protected, because I knew that anyone who exposed and condemned Islam was hunted like an animal and killed by Muslims. And I, for me, you know, if I'm on a mission like this, if they kill me, so be it. I didn't want my family subject to their harassment. I said, fine, I'll take care of that for you. I'm the only person who's written a book like this in my own name, who has never hidden once. And I've received tens of thousands of hate letters, over 1,000 death threats. I've had guns pointed right to my head. And yet there's nothing they can do to me. The second thing that I said is, all right, I'll do this, but since I'm unqualified, I'm not going to do it alone. We do it together. The moment I engage on radio, I engage in writing this book, where I'm stymied, where I'm doing this alone, where I'm left to my own ability to think and to reason, and we're not doing this together, the moment I sense that this is not a collaborative effort, we're through. I'm going to stop. You got a deal. And we did this for 6 years. One day I had two interviews back to back. And it was obvious that I had been left to my own devices during both of those two interviews. It was really idiotic, politically correct hosts. And I remember that very day. I said, okay, we're done. This was not a cooperative effort. I said, you're right. We're done. The mission's completed. You've done everything that I had wanted to do to expose and condemn Islam. Tea with Terrorists, Prophet of Doom, and 3,000 hours of talk radio show interviews, plus the Prophet of Doom site, prophetofdoom.net. Go if you want to see the witness. It's there. Islam is exposed and condemned 1,000 times over, proven to be false, destructive, corruptive. I use the Islamic scriptures to expose and condemn the religion. None of the reasoning is my own.
I was just going to say, you use their own words. You condemn them with their own words.
Yes. God's very clever. I mean, I had a really good leader. That was my inspiration, this whole thing. And what the strategy was, is to take the Quran, which is a jumbled mess, and to reorder the Quran chronologically and to set it into the context of Muhammad's life using the four oldest Islamic sources. And so all I had to do was reorder the Quran chronologically, set it into the context of Muhammad's life, and present it over the course of 1,000 pages. And when you do that, Islam is nasty, it is ugly, it is just putrid. It's foolish, but it's grotesquely immoral. And so Islam was exposed and condemned using Islam. I used nothing more than 100% of the book is based upon the five oldest sources for the Islamic religion. I used Islam's words, Muhammad's own words, to expose and condemn Muhammad and his wannabe God. In Yadaya and in the introduction to God, that was a new mission, and God said, you know, welcome to a new mission at that time. We've accomplished the first mission. We did exactly what we set out to do. Now I have a new mission. You're going to get lots more flack from this mission than you received from the first one. So do you want to go? And in this mission, I use God's words to expose and condemn the Christian and the Jewish religion. Well, this is one of those places, because paramount to Judaism is that God's name is not to be spoken, and that is replaced by either Adonai, the Lord, which God says he hates. In fact, in Jeremiah, I believe it's in the 23rd chapter, I present this case in the book, An Introduction to God, which you can read at introtogod.org. It says the single greatest crime ever perpetrated against humanity was the removal of his name from him. And it was done so by clerics, religious men. And so here in this passage, we have Moshe recognizing that the only way that he was going to have any credibility, the first thing that the people would ask him when he went there is, who is this God? You know, there are gods by 1,000 different names. You're obviously real. Who are you? What's your name? I'm going to be asked your name. And that's what was presented here. So Moshe is reluctant. He doesn't want to do this. He's agreed, though, finally to do so. But he realizes the first question he's going to be asked, what is the personal and proper name, the Shem? Because I'm going to be asked that. And I need to know it. Now, I'm going to read this passage again. I'm going to share some of the insights of the Hebrew with you. And Moshe, I've told you what that name means, the one who draws us away from human oppression and divine judgment, said to God, El, it means mighty one, the Almighty. Almighty is from Ha Elohim, the mighty one again. Now, look, this is Henna. Behold, look here. Note, pay attention now. So, now look, if I go to the children of Yisrael, what does Yisrael mean? For those who would say, you know, this is about Israel, it's not about me, I'm not part of Israel. Well, what does Yisrael mean? It's a compound of three Hebrew words. Ish means individuals. Sarah is the name of the mother of the covenant. Sarah means to be empowered, to engage, to be enriched, to endure. If you want to know Yah's view of women, the most important woman in all of Scripture is the mother of the covenant, Sarah. She was named powerful, enduring, enriching, engaging. So if I go to the children of Yisrael, what's the last word in Israel? El, God. It means individuals who are empowered, who engage, and who endure with God. If you want to be counted among them, don't discard this because it says Israel. This is Shattering Mist. We'll return after the commercial break. To Shattering Myths. We are considering a marvelous discussion that begins in Shemoth, which means names. This is the third chapter, 13th verse. And it begins, and Moshe said to God the Almighty, now look, if I go to the children of Yisrael, and we concluded the last segment by explaining what Yisrael means. So if you have been deceived into thinking, I don't have to pay attention to any of that Torah stuff because I'm not Yisrael, then don't count yourselves amongst individuals who strive and contend with, who engage and endure with, who are set free by and are empowered by God. Because that's what Yisrael means. And he said, if I go to the children of Yisrael and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me out to you. And they ask me, what is his personal and proper name, his Shem? What shall I say to them? Now, while God could have given Moshe a direct answer, he didn't do so directly. And that is because there's a bigger difference between Amun-Ra, Amun, Aten, Horus, Seb, Isis, Osiris, Sobek et al., and Yahweh than just a name. Yahweh exists. He's for real. So by revealing the basis of his name first, Yahweh answered the most important question we can ask. Yes, there really is a God. He exists. God, Elohim, said, Amar, answered and promised to Moshe, Ihaya, Asher, Ihaya. In English, that is, I am who I am. I exist. In his response, God conveyed, I was, I am, I always will be. This statement contains the Hebrew word for existence, haya. Haya means, is the verb was, is, will be. It means to exist in Hebrew. But haya is more than just a verb in Hebrew. Haya is the basis of Yahweh's name. Yahweh is based on haya. Yah's name means I exist. I was, I am, I always will be. I exist. The only Hebrew word that connects haya and haya in this statement is Asher. Asher is the word that caused me to begin to question my religion. Asher is the word that is in the 2 Samuel prophecy regarding the Messiah, where God actually said, when sin is associated with him, I will not spare the punishment. So when our sin was associated with the Messiah suffered as the Passover lamb, and then as the yeast in the bread and was separated, his soul was separated in Sheol, paying our punishment so that we would be exonerated. Asher is the word that spoke of that association. Asher means to associate, and it means to bless. Good fortune. I exist in association with your existence. I exist to bless your continued existence, if we were to fully amplify the meaning of Asher. Now, Ihaya is the first person singular of Haya, meaning I exist, I am, I was, I will be. Asher denotes a relationship, an association or linkage. It is often translated with who, which, what, where, and when. Asher is also a blessing, something that is fortuitous. So by using these three words, two of which were verbs, action terms, and one was a relationship term, God told us he exists, that our continued existence is predicated on his blessing, that relationships, Asher, are of vital interest to him. He also told us how to pronounce his name. Yahweh is based upon Haya. Of the four letters that are in Yahweh's name, two of them are repeated. So of the three letters in Yahweh's name, two of those three letters are in Haya, the Yod and the Ah, the He. The Yah of Yahweh and the Ah at the end of Yahweh are both derived from Haya. By Haya, we know how to pronounce everything but one syllable in Yahweh's name, and we come to know what it means. This is Shattering Mist. We'll return to this conversation after the break. If you wish to join us, 877-300-7645. To Shattering Mists. I was biting at my fingernails as we endured that break, because what I have to share with you now is so profound. I want to take you to this wonderful place. It continues with, and he said, this is Yahweh, God himself, and he said, so this is what you should actually say, Amar. Amar is the Hebrew word for say. It means to answer. It was scribed in the call relational stem, affirming the reliability of this advice, and in the imperfect conjugation, telling us that this pronouncement would have ongoing consequences, which would unfold throughout time, and that this should mirror what we continue to do. This is something that should become habitual for us. And he says, so this is what you should actually and always say to the children of Yisrael, those who engage and endure with God. I am Ihaya. I exist. He has sent me to you. He has sent me is from Salah. It means he has reached out and extended himself to actually dispatch me. It too was written in the call stem, which indicates that this is a literal instruction, should be interpreted literally, that it actually is happening. And in the perfect this time, as opposed to the imperfect, telling us that this act of God is indivisible, it's whole and complete, valid throughout time, and as a result should not be compartmentalized into separate chronologies. And so he said, and so this is what you should actually and continuously say to the children of Yisrael, I am, he has sent me to you. Now, there may not be any more profound statement than this, no more important a mission than this, no higher authority than this. The source of our existence, the one God who actually exists, was going to go from Arabia to the Nile Delta with an 80-year-old shepherd to rescue his wayward and oppressed children from Egypt, the most oppressive religious, political, and military power man had yet conceived. Now, those who promote the myth that God's name isn't known, that it isn't important, and that it cannot and should not be pronounced, stop reading at this point. But God was not finished speaking. And God, Elohim, moreover, owed besides this and in addition, said to Moshe, this is what you should say to the children of Yisrael, to the children, the sons, daughters who strive, who contend with, who engage, persist, and endure with, those who persevere and are freed by and empowered by God. Yahweh, God of your fathers, God of Abraham, God of Yishak, and God of Jacob, he has sent me to you. He was to say, Yahweh has sent me to you. Now, if he were to say that in the Yisrael that was controlled by the religious clerics known as rabbis, he would have been killed by them. The scribe of the Torah would have been killed, murdered by Jews for saying Yah's name. And yet God told him to say it, to pronounce it. And God, moreover, besides this in addition, said to Moshe, this is what you should say, Amar, promise and declare to the children of those who engage and endure with God, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Yishak, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Now, before I continue to say what God said next, be aware that those names aren't happenstance. Abraham means loving, enriching, and merciful Father. He is symbolic of our Heavenly Father, and he is the patriarch of the covenant. The only thing that matters to God is the covenant. Abraham is listed here, as are Yishak and Jacob, because they are the first descendants, the first beneficiaries of the covenant. Yishak defines the covenant's purpose. You know what his name means in Hebrew? It means laughter. That's why God created the covenant. He wants to have a family that has a good time together. It means laughter. Jacob speaks of the one who digs in his heels, the one who is steadfast, the one who is firmly supplanted in the family of God. That is what these names mean. Jacob became Yisrael. God renamed him Yisrael, those who engage and endure with God. God would continue, and this is what he said. This is my name. He didn't say this is one of my names. He didn't say, I don't give a rat's patootie what you call me. He said, all of my names are really wonderful. Pick a name. I don't really care. Any name will do. No. He said, this is my name. Zeth, specifically. My name, singular. This is my personal and proper designation. scribed in the singular construct form, making Yahweh inseparable from his one and only Shem name. This is my name. What, until I send this other guy named Jesus? No. This is my name forever. La Olam. La is actually a preposition. It means to move toward. This is my name to move toward me forever. And this is my way of being known and remembered. Singular, specific. Zakir. Zakir. This is my renown. This is my way of being recalled, commemorated. This is my inheritance right. It's the symbol, the sign, the signature that represents me. Yo. Is that God's name in Hebrew and in another language we can change it to Lord? He said, for all places, for all times, and for all generations. Dor, dor. When a Hebrew word is repeated, it takes it to the extreme. All places, all times, all generations. Tell the children of Israel, Yahweh, your God, the God of Abraham, of Yishak, of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my way of being known and remembered. My symbol, my sign, my signature. For all places, for all times, for all generations. If you don't know him as Yahweh, you do not know him. If you are praying to a God by a different name, he ain't hearing you. You do not know him. He does not know you. He has but one name, Yahweh. Yahusha actually isn't so much a name as it is a mission statement, an identity designation. Yahusha is important only because it describes his purpose. Yahusha means Yahweh saves. It means that he is representing Yahweh. It's an identity designation. It is a mission statement. God has but one name. His name is Yahweh. If you do not know his name, if you do not call him by name, if you do not pronounce his name, then let me make this perfectly clear. You do not know him. If you think you have a relationship with God and you do not know and use his name, you are fooling yourself. He has but one name. He wants to be known by that name forever, in all places, in all times, by all generations. So I ask you, how does anyone justify calling God Lord when God said as clearly as words allow, my name is Yahweh? That is the way I want to be recalled. That is the way I want to be known. That is the way I want to be remembered. Yahweh is my signature. Tell those who want to live with me, who want to be Yisrael, empowered by me, who want to engage with me, those who want to be saved by me, that Yahweh has sent you. Know it. Say it. Remember it. Well, now that we have allowed God to resolve the myth that he has many names, some of which are too sacred to be spoken, what about the myth that no one knows how to pronounce the tetragrammaton, the four consonants which comprise his signature? Well, to begin, Yahweh's name is comprised of vowels, not consonant. All four letters, two of which are repeated, are vowels. That means they are open mouth sounds as opposed to closed mouth sounds. They are vowels. They are not consonants. Flavius Josephus, in his most famous of all, he was the most famous of all Jewish historians, albeit he was a traitor, wrote in the first century CE in the War of the Jews, book 5, section 5, page 7, the set apart name. It consists of four vowels, quote unquote. Weingreen, a noted scholar in Hebrew grammar, subsequently stated in 1959 for Oxford University Press, quote, long before the introduction of vowel signs, it was felt that the main vowel sounds should be indicated in writing, and so the three letters, waw, he, and yod, were used to represent long vowels. Waw, he, and yod represent all of the letters in Yahweh's name. In actuality, the easiest way to dispense with the consonant myth with regards to ancient Paleo and Babylonian Hebrew scripts found in Scripture is to examine the many thousands of words which contain the letters waw, he, and yod, and consider how they are pronounced. Almost invariably, the waw is conveyed using the O or U sound. In this regard, it is similar to the vowel form of the English W, which is pronounced double U. The he is pronounced ah, and to a significantly lesser degree e. As a matter of fact, 99.99% of the time that a he appears in a Hebrew word, it is pronounced ah. The yod communicates the I sound, and is otherwise similar to the vocalization of the vowel form of the English Y to this day. In reality, these three vowels, in conjunction with the Hebrew Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the Ain, make it possible to pronounce every Hebrew word several millennia before the Sheva system was developed or vowel points were introduced by the Masoretes. We'll return to Shattering Myths for the final segment after the break. This is Yada, 877-300-7645. Back to the final segment of Shattering Myths. What we were talking about is the letters which comprise Yahweh's name. And, first thing it should strike you is that God actually spoke what he wrote in the Torah to the children of Israel. They actually heard it from him. And also, there was a constant telling in the Torah of Moshe reading this to the children of Israel. God constantly encourages us as parents to read his Torah teaching to our children. You know, if there were no vowels in this language, guess what? It couldn't have been read. It couldn't have been spoken. The vowels are obvious. Let's look at the first one. It's the in Yah's name. It's the Hebrew Yod. It's drawn originally as an arm reaching down and out with an open hand. Example of a common word that begins with the Yod is Yada. That's the term that I'm using as a name in this program. It means to know. It typically means to know in a relational sense. You probably heard it on Seinfeld, yada, yada, yada. Well, the beginning sound is from the Hebrew yod. Indirectly, we know the yod sound from Yisrael. Israel is written beginning with a yod. It is also the source of the I sound in Isaiah, which is actually Yasha, Yah. It is the Yah ending of Messiah, which is Masayah. It is the I sound in Zechariah, which is Zechariahu. Hezekiah, which is Shak-ah-Yah. Nehemiah, Nechem-Yah. Moriah, Mor-Rayah. Those who have sung the campfire song Kumbaya, Kumbaya, which actually means stand. Kum is the Hebrew word for stand. Ba is the Hebrew word for with or in. And Yah is the shortened and familiar version of Yahweh's name. It means stand with Yah. Or Hallelujah. The Yah at the end of Hallelujah means radiate God's or Yah's light. Hallelujah. Radiate Yah's light. So, by these common parts of our vocabulary, we know how to pronounce the yod. Yahu is a corruption of Yehudim by the Babylonians. When the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon, the Babylonians make fun of them and their God by calling them Yahus. And we retain the pronunciation of the Yah thereby. So that we know that this Yod sound is very common. It is in, for example, hand, which is Yod. In fact, the Hebrew Yod used to be pronounced, the name of the letter itself, hand, and that's why you see it in Paleo-Hebrew as actually the depiction of a open hand. Now, there are literally thousands of Hebrew words where the Yod is pronounced just like the Y is in English words like yes, yet, yield, yarn, yah, etc., etc. And just like Hebrew, in the English, the letter Y is often a vowel. Consider the words myth, him, my, fly, and cry. In fact, according to the Oxford Dictionary, the letter Y is more often used as a vowel in English even to this day. And in this role, it is often interchangeable with the letter I, the dictionary proclaims. This is very similar to Hebrew, and it's not a coincidence, because Hebrew served as the world's first actual alphabet, a word derived from a transliteration of the first two letters in the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph and Bet. The second and fourth letter in Yah's name are the Hebrew He. It means behold in Hebrew. Curious to know how Yah's name came to be based upon Haya, which begins and ends with the Hebrew He, and is often translated. You know, how do you get to Yah or Yehweh if Haya is the basis of his name? And everybody knows that Haya is the basis of his name who've studied Hebrew. How do you then corrupt it to get the E sound? Well, you can't unless you are being deliberately beguiling. Now, what you discover if you search the Hebrew lexicon of the words used in Yah's revelation is that just like Haya is pronounced Ah, and Eloah, the basis of Elohim, is pronounced Ah, the Hebrew He is invariably pronounced Ah, and therefore, save the wa, we know everything we need to know about the pronunciation of God's name. And guess what we're going to do in our program tomorrow? We're going to investigate the pronunciation of the Hebrew wa. This is Shattering Myths. The time is too short, but we'll return to be with you again tomorrow.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, and many of you have heard my best-selling lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. I want to let you know that I'll be in New York City Thursday, August 23rd, giving a free health